Well, that went a bit deep quite quick, didn't
We yeah, did you we did you cheer up?
it? Yeah.
Christ.
Hello and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics, Adventures of a Would-Be Councillor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel and I'm a local resident of Bemminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig, and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners.
So I'll never promise anything that I don't honestly think I can't achieve. We can talk about local issues, you know, continue getting a good police presence in the area, and hopefully you'll give me some money to do some things to make it even safer.
We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
It's the only thing they care about. But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like and share to get up-to-date episodes. Hi, Craig. So week three, the weather's not been kind to you, has it? What have you been up to this week?
Hi, Rach. Yeah, I've learned some lessons this week. The first lesson I learned is my waterproof jacket is not waterproof. And my boat shoes are not the best things to wear when walking 5 miles around Mosterton and South Barrett.
Good fashion tips. We weren't expecting that.
Yeah. But luckily, my the envelopes I'm using for my resident survey seem to withhold the weather better than my jacket did. So I've managed to sort of finish visiting Mosterton this week, which is great.
Amazing. So what else have you been up to then?
Yeah, lots of survey delivering and speaking to some local residents again. Generally, well, for the most part, really good reception. Actually, I even had a couple members of the public that I recognise and who know me from Bemminster who actually stopped and had a really good chat and then helped me deliver some leaflets. So I'm glad it gave me a real kind of boost. Actually, that you know, people really recognise the work that I do and I've done, and they want to help, even if it's whilst walking the dog and seeing me getting wet, and maybe it was a pity thing, I don't know, but that was really nice as well.
Who cares if it's a pity thing? Take
yeah.
it. And because
absolutely.
if it wasn't a pity thing, they would have just laughed, wouldn't they? But that must be really encouraging for you to know that that's the reception that you're getting.
Yeah, and I think in part also well, especially with the particular individual, which I won't go into, but it also shows me that people really understand the importance of this local election and what I'm about, you know, locally as a candidate rather than the kind of white noise in the bigger world. So yeah, it's really it's good that it gave me confidence. I can see that people understand, you know, what this election is about. What else did I do last weekend? I spent an hour or two with our police and crime commissioner Dave Sidwick. Had a really good meeting with him. We discussed a few issues in Bemminster and the things we can do sort of moving forward to make things better around crime and antisocial behaviour, which is really good. I know I hassled David at the end of last summer along with a couple sort of local community leaders to address the issues we had with kind of a bit of a spike in ASB in Bemminster, and as a result of that we did see a real influx of police numbers, and I just want to sort of keep the pressure on now and make sure we kind of keep that momentum. And I've got a few ideas around things we can do to make things better from an antisocial behavior back front. So that also involves spending some money. So I was basically trying to shake down David for some funding and some grants that I can get him to share, so we can do some stuff in town as well for kind of this spring and going forward. So yeah, really productive meeting.
How does that work then? So your meeting with him, was that planned? Is it, well, obviously it was planned, but I mean, is this something that you're able to do regularly, or did you set it up? And how are you able to convince him to support Bemminster and the local villages over other areas that may also feel that they need additional support? How does that work?
Yeah, so it was planned in the sense that I sort of reached out to David to arrange to have a meeting and just sort of follow up from the meeting that we had kind of the end of last summer. It's quite difficult to get his time because he's obviously the Police and Crime Commissioner for the whole of Dorset, and he's being pulled from pillar to post, and everywhere has their own priorities, and every voice might be a little bit louder than others, but I think it's just about putting across a bit more of a persuasive argument. And I think actually with me as well, because of my background in policing, I understand. Obviously, I've never been a police and crime commissioner, but I was a federation rep for 8 years, which is a bit like a union, but not the same. Which might surprise some people listening to this. Considering, and obviously, I was a police officer for 16 years. A good portion of that in community policing. So I get the challenges. I understand the issues. And I think one of the reasons I have a really good relationship with David is because I also don't just give him problems. I also suggest solutions. Some really good ideas. Well, I think they're good ideas anyway, on how to tackle these things. And I think that makes it easier for like external agencies to engage with people like a town council or hopefully a ward councillor, because everybody has problems, as we do, but I have, I generally have always had an attitude that, okay, here's a list of problems, what's the solutions? And I spend more time focusing on the solutions than I do the problems. And I think when you have that kind of mindset, along with an ability to like communicate with people and negotiate, which is basically what I did for 8 years as a unit, like a federation rep, kind of negotiating with people with more power, more rank, and having no nothing to negotiate with, it means that, it's just kind of natural that people like our local police officers, police station police officers or other agencies will work with you because they are more engaged with it. So if I can kind of tell showing the problem, put a few suggestions on the table, and as I've done, and a couple of those involving him, maybe or Dorset Police allocating some funding to support that, it's a win-win situation, and that's kind of what I'm about, really. So yeah, I mean, I'm really optimistic that we'll continue getting a good police presence in the area, and hopefully you'll give me some money to do some things to make it even safer.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I've definitely seen you in action when local residents have come up to you and been complaining about whatever it might be, and you've stood very patiently and listened to what they're saying, and you have instantly not sort of you almost respectfully dismiss the thing that they say and come back with an answer or I'll get back to you with a solution, rather than dwelling on the complaint that they're making. And I've seen them physically change from feeling like they've got to put up a fight to actually feeling heard, and knowing that, oh, okay, and they weren't expecting that kind of reaction. And I think that that is a particular skill that you've got in being able to turn a person around from obviously feeling on sort of almost on the attack straight away, because they're going to feel that they've got to put that point across, and they're always left feeling like, oh, okay, well, Craig's great, I don't have to think about it, Craig's going to deal with it. So I think that must be something that you've honed over the years, but was also an inherent, I think that's an inherent natural thing that you have.
I think you're right. I think part of it is kind of like a natural, I don't know if you call it a skill, but like a natural skill I have. And obviously spending,
It's a characteristic of yours, I think.
yeah,
So I
that's a
think
better way to
that's,
describe it.
yeah, I think that's a, that would be how I would describe it. It's a characteristic.
The other thing as well, from my kind of experiences, both in policing and as a town and parish councillor for 13 years, is that, like, as I've said, I will always say in this, probably at least say it once in this podcast or in every podcast, the same as using the word journey in every podcast. I speak as I find, and I'm very kind of straight shooting in that sense. And I get for people that it's frustrations, and this is a big lesson I learned in when I was a Fed rep actually, because I specialized in officer welfare, health and safety, and firearm stuff as well because of my firearms experience. And what I found is when somebody has a problem, whatever it may be, if it's an employment issue or they feel like they've been unfairly treated in the workplace, whatever it may be, for that individual, it's the biggest thing in the world. There's nothing more important than that problem. And those problems are always exacerbated when the kind of, I'll use the word victim, is in a space on their own or something. So you think about, we've all experienced it. You go to work, you fall out with your boss, or you get a bit of a rollicking, you've got a meeting the next day to talk about it. And all that night you can't sleep because all you're thinking about is tomorrow I've got to deal with this problem, or tomorrow I have this problem. The other person doesn't care. Like, they've gone home, they're with their family, they're having their dinner, everything's great. So I really recognize from that experience that for the individual, it's the only thing they care about. And I think from that, it's important to listen and understand what the problem is, and then think about the different solutions straight away. And sometimes part of that kind of solution or response is to say, I can't help you, but I know a man who can. So I'll never promise anything that I don't honestly think I can't achieve. Whatever I set my mind to, I have a plan. I can see how it would work for that individual or the council or whatever. What I won't do is just agree with them all the time and just let them, tell me what the issue is without actually helping them. And I think that's a big problem that lots of people in kind of our position fall foul of, I think, whether it's your boss at work, or it's a local councillor, it's Dorset Council, it's national government, whatever, MPs, whoever it is, that they just listen to a problem and just say anything to kind of appease the person or give them an answer they think they want, and actually not find a solution. And what's the point in that? So I'm not in it for that game.
And also, as you've kind of touched on, really, about there's no judgment there. So whether someone's coming and complaining about the fact that the grass isn't cut often enough, or the litter isn't collected, and that then that might be something that's really important to that individual, that because for whatever reason that might be, and that isn't necessarily important to another person. You never come back and say, well, I know you wouldn't, in the position that you're in, and as counsellors, we wouldn't sort of poo-poo any idea or any challenge or any thought that people had. But you genuinely have that compassionate way of thinking that that person's problem is the only person, the only problem in the world. So yeah, that is a good thing and good characteristic of yours.
Thanks.
There we go. That
That went a bit deep quite quick, didn't
Well, yeah, did you cheer up?
it? Yeah, Christ.
Well, I'm interested to know, you said that some surveys have started to come back.
Yeah.
I know you haven't covered Bedminster yet, and that's going to be happening, and that's really exciting because obviously that's where I am, and it will be good when you start to have those surveys coming
Yeah.
back. But the surrounding areas, Cheddington, Mosterton, you have done,
Yeah.
and you said that you've started to have some surveys come back. So give us an example of what's been coming back and what comments people have said.
Yeah. What's been, I mean, the first, I mean, the first thing that's been really interesting to me. So there's a couple questions on my survey that are around kind of like the different sort of political parties and how you voted in the past, and where you think you'll vote going forward. So they are a bit more generic. But the big thing that I've taken from them, which is really interesting, is that of all the surveys that have come back to the office, everyone's talking about local issues. No one's talking about the national stuff at all. And the main things that, well, the three main things that have come back is concerns around antisocial behaviour, issues with fly tipping, which is definitely a Cheddington kind of South Parrot issue, and I'm really aware of it. But kind of ASB, that low level crime, fly tipping in their local community. And issues around the lack of public transport in the rules. So obviously, I drive the CB3 and we service Mosterton as well as Bedminster, but South Perrott and Cheddington is just kind of off the beaten track slightly. So they have a reduced, they have a far reduced public transport system. So the three big things that have come back from those areas is ASB fly tipping on their doorstep and being able to get a bus or suitable public transport to go shopping. No, nothing has come back about the kind of politics of the day and the stuff that's on the news and the things that's happening kind of further afield. Like, there's no mention of that stuff at all. Everyone's who has returned surveys are talking about local issues that really obviously affect them personally, which is interesting. And it's also positive for me, because that gives me a bit more confidence that I am talking about the right things and I've set my priorities in line with people's priorities and local people that live here as well. So I feel really good that I am on the right page with what people really care about. And what's also been really interesting is I in my surveys I asked the question, how you voted in the past and how you think you'll vote in these local elections going forward. And I've had some people come back and say, absolutely voting Lib Dem, 100%, not voting anything else apart from Lib Dem. Equal numbers of people saying 100% voting for Conservative, i.e. me, not vote for anyone else. And then a few people kind of floating voters as well, voted Conservative in the past, but not sure where my vote's going to go this time around as well. So I think that's interesting to me, because the question is more about the parties that are standing rather than the individuals. The surveys show me that what I'm talking about is really important to local people. I just need to be able to put that message across that this local election is exactly that. It's a local election, and people need to be thinking about who the best local candidate is for them. And I, without sounding big, I think that's me. So I need to get that message across and let people know that, it's not about the national agenda and national party politics. It's about the best person to represent you. And who do you think will get rid of the fly tipping? Who will reduce ASB where you live? Who will help you with public transport? That's, the answer to those questions is voting for me, basically. So I need to get that message across.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that. I was out with a friend the other night, and we were catching up on news, and I was telling her about the doing this podcast with you, and I said that she lives in Mosterton, so I said that you'd be visiting and dropping in a survey at some point. And she said that she won't be voting Conservative. She's never voted Conservative her whole life, which I was really surprised about, actually. She just struck me as somebody that's more likely to vote Conservative or Lib Dem than Labour. And we've never talked about politics because, as I've said a million times, I'm non-political. She said that she wouldn't be voting Conservative. And I said, but you're voting for the individual, you're voting for Craig, you're looking at what Craig can deliver, and you're looking at what other candidates can deliver from other parties, and so you're making the choice of that. And she said, well, she's more likely to not vote and be a non-voter. And that also surprised me. That didn't even occur to me. Now, I think this is because you're my friend, and so I'm interested in what's going on. And it reminded me that that's probably what I would have been if I didn't know you. I probably would have been a non-voter because I wouldn't really know which way to go. So how do you, I know you've touched on this a little bit, but talk more about what you would be saying to my friend who has expressed her position already.
I mean, it's something I've come across a few times, and I think actually the main thing I would want to get across to somebody who maybe has traditionally been a voter of another party, be it Labour or Lib Dem or Greens, is that this is a local election, and it's really important to look at local candidates and what they stand for, because if you don't vote for the best local people to represent local issues, you're going to be selling yourself short. And I think that in Dorset Council, whilst Dorset Council is a politically run council, if you look at all the councillors or the vast majority of councillors that currently stand in Dorset Council, they all work together most of the time, regardless of party politics. So I do understand that you have people that have kind of national views or may lean towards a Labour Party because they're seeing what's happening nationally, and they feel that every election has to represent their views on those national issues. But I just want to put myself across as this is what I stand for, and to look at me as an individual candidate over the party. Because whenever I voted local in the past, that's what I've done. And I think that if people give me the time to explain my priorities and show them what I've done in the past, what I'm about, and you know what I want to do moving forward, I think I have the clearest, strongest message. But over all of that, actually, I am really driven in terms of democracy, and I wouldn't want anyone not to vote. So I would really, my end message would be to your friend is that if I can prove to you that I am deserving of your vote and you support me against your kind of natural inclination, then I'll do my best to not let you down with that kind of sign, that trust that you've put in me. But if you still can't do that, please still vote. Vote for somebody that you think would do a better job. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm sure that the local Labour group will have a candidate. Vote for them, because I think it's a shame when people don't vote. So it's going against my, they're probably, I shouldn't say this, but what I'm saying, but I am going to say it because, like I say, I speak as I find. I want people to vote for me, regardless of the party I stand for, because they believe, as I believe, I'm the best person for the job. But don't not vote. Don't not vote.
That's your ethos of don't look at the color in the box, isn't it? It's look at the name.
Yeah.
And that's been your ethos and a message that you've said previously. I would be very, if I stood on the doorstep and somebody was talking to me like that, I'm very easily swayed. So you'd be able to you'd reel me in. So
Yeah.
if the Lib Dem candidate was to give that speech, watch out, Craig, because he could
But I
easily
think
turn me,
the thing is,
easily turn me around.
but for me, it's the right thing to say, right? I want
Yeah,
people.
no, it's genuine. It's a genuine thing to
Yeah.
say.
But and I have spoken to people that are traditionally Lib Dem or Labour voters that have already not only offered, told me that they're going to support me, but offered to help me because they see past the party politics,
Yeah.
because it's a local election. Party politics doesn't, when you look at what p other parties are talking about, and I don't want to this to turn into me just bashing other parties, but when you look at what other parties are talking about, lots of the kind of conversations at the moment are national conversations, and to me, it's just actually a shame, because local, like Dorset Council, can't influence national government, government policy, and they have no power to sort of do stuff with that. That's why the local argument is really important. So I hope that I can persuade people that wouldn't normally vote Conservative that they can feel safe voting for me as the best person. If you can't pinch your nose and vote for me, then please still vote.
Well,
So
that's a good message to end on, I think.
I think so. I need to go and post some more leaflets.
Yes, you do. At least it's dry today, so you should be fine. And you've got some helpers this weekend, haven't you? So.
Yeah, I got some fantastic local helpers. That it was lovely when people actually, we talked about this before, but you don't feel so alone, which is great. So I got a few local people that have offered to come and help me and sort of champion me, which is amazing. So I'm gonna spend most of the day on the doors, and then I am taking our community bus up to a local garage to have some signwriting printed on it. So there you go. And I'll be driving the bus tomorrow morning.
Well, that's a good way to end this episode, Craig. Thank you very much for all of that. What are we going to talk about next week?
Yeah, so I think Like you said, you touched on it a couple of times in the last few weeks. So I think we should talk about public transport, the CB3 bus, and the other things that I'd like to try and do to protect and promote our public transport, which is one of my key sort of key pledges within my plan. So yeah, let's talk buses next week. And I'm sure if we put the question out to members of our local public, local voters, they will have lots of questions to ask because this is a real big deal to people.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, well, have a good week. Enjoy
Right.
delivering your leaflets in the sunshine.
And if you find a bit of time, you're more than welcome to join me.
No. Oh, I'm busy.
See you next week.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes. Just put Big Will on it.
Exactly. Just stand Big Will in the door.